I want to, good morning, by the way, everyone. Nice to see you. I want to read the verses that Pastor Terry is going to be preaching on. So it's just five verses this morning. And it comes from 2 Samuel, Samuel's account of the life of David. And we've been studying about the division when Israel was separated. One of the famous things that King David is known for is that he unified a divided country. And but at this particular time, that unification has not yet happened. And God was just bringing the two factions together. So in chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, verses 1 through 5, that was the beginning of a long war between those who were loyal to Saul up in the northern part of the country and those who were loyal to David in the southern part of the country. As time passed, David became stronger and stronger, while Saul's dynasty became weaker and weaker. These are the sons who were born to David in Hebron. The oldest was Ammon, whose mother was Ahinoam from Jezreel. Second was Daniel, whose mother was Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. The third was Absalom, whose mother was Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Fourth was Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, whose mother was Abital. And the sixth was Itream, whose mother was Eglah, David's wife, whose sons were all born to David in Hebron. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And we thank you that in the genealogies, they so prove your word. It's a historical record of people that were born and people that ruled and people that you use to bring about your purposes. Father, we pray for Pastor Terry, and we ask that you continue to speak through him to bless us and grow us up, Lord, in your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The Bible, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the Bible. I have it, I read it, I study it, I teach it, and with God's help, I live it. Amen. Okay, so there's a struggle going on between Saul's family, or Ishbosheth, and Abner, and David's commander, I'm sure Joab, and them were at war. We talked last week about a peace that came at a time, but now it says, you know, that was the beginning of a long war. And not only with them, and we see David, he's got six wives, and while he was in Hebron, he had six sons born, and one to each one of the wives. The first two, there were really three that kind of were for purposes. The first two were to secure his place in Judah, because they were from Judah. And the third one was from the northern kingdom, not far from where Ishbosheth's capital was. So he kind of knew what was going on between there because of the alliance between them two. Now, these sons, they're a work of art. So we know the third son, Absalom, the oldest son was Ammon, but he was killed. He was supposed to be the heir, right? But he was killed by the Absalom. And the second son, we don't know much about him. He might have died, Abigail's son. He might have died at an early age, way before David, because there's not much known about that one. And the last three wives. There's not much known about them, but the fourth son, we know that he kind of tried an insurrection against David, and he was assassinated. So just a little history on all these boys that were, you know, we have kids and we never know which way they're going to go, right? We never know which way we're going to go. Okay, so what's the key point in all these scriptures? It's kind of the civil war we fight within ourselves. Do we fight a civil war within yourself? Well, if you think you don't, you got, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, you're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against powers of the unseen world. Principalities and powers of the unseen world. And they're out there, and they're trying to attack you. And where do they attack most? Right here within your mind. You think about something long enough, you're going to do it. That's a proven fact. If something you think about long enough, okay, man, I like that woman over there. And if you do, you're going to chase her, and probably you're going to commit adultery. That's a war that goes on within our minds. And who's going to win? The one you feed the most. The one you feed the most. That's the one that's going to win. So our thoughts, and we're going to go through some scripture that's going to say this, but basically we got a civil war going on within ourselves to fight these things. And I look at the nation today, and we got a civil war going on within the nation. Again. All right, let's look at some scripture. Okay, so if Paul had these problems, what makes you think you're not going to have the same ones? Chapter 7 of Romans. Verses 14 through 25. Everybody there? I'll wait for a minute. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. How many people are today the same way? Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Oh, man. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Well, we're gonna look how to combat that later on. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Wow. There's the power. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. It's your thoughts. In Romans chapter 12, it says, you know, let God transform you into a new way of thinking. You have to have, but how do you keep that way of thinking? You have to be into His Word. Jesus says, I am the Word. I am the Word. And if you're not in it, what are you going to do? You're going to be thinking about things of the world, just like Paul's trying to tell you here. Be careful. Be careful. Guard your hearts. If it travels this 18 inches from your mind down to your heart, it becomes a sin. Man, you know, it tells us to take every thought captive. Whatever, if it's a good thought, let it go. Let it come on down. If it's a bad thought, get rid of it. First Corinthians 10. And this is one of the ways we're, 10:13, we're able to combat that stuff. So we're going to go to 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Amen? If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Be careful. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. We all have them. And who they come from? The evil one. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. He's always faithful to give you a way out. But what's the problem with most people? They want to stay on the wide highway. They pick not to take the off-ramp He gives you to get back on the narrow path. What's the world trying to get you to do? Stay on the wide highway. Accept a lot of stuff that the Bible says is not acceptable and try to force it down our throats and our kids' throats. Now we're going to chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Of 1 Corinthians. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. I'm sorry. I got carried away there. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic word spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Your conscience. People today, compared to when we were young, how are people's conscience seared to believe a bunch of foolishness? When I was young, Ozzie and Harriet and all of them, they slept in separate beds. You never seen two people in bed together. Now you see all kinds of things, people in bed together. Woman and woman, man and man. I'm thinking, this is just out of hand. People's conscience are what guides you to do the right thing or the wrong thing. We can be one of two things, a good example or a bad example. And your kids, are they going to pick up if you're a bad example? You bet they are. Are your grandkids going to pick up if you're a bad example? You bet they are. You bet they are. And they follow those examples they see. If you're an adulterer, if you're an abuser, they're probably going to be an abuser. If you lie, they're probably going to lie to you. All these things, they follow what they see. Now we're going to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verses 11 and 12. Chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Man, you got to hang on to it. But so many people just walk away from it. They ignore it. Their consciences become seared with the ways of the world. whether it's money. How many people that have money are addicted to the money? Man, you see it. And what do they want? They want more, 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 more. They got all kinds. A billionaire, what's he after? More money. And when he gets more, what's the other thing he's afraid of? Who's going to get mine now? I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad I ain't got any. Glad God, like the prayer of a girl. Give me a just enough for today, Lord. Because if you give me too much, I might deny you and forget who you are. And if you don't give me enough, I'll have to steal and dishonor your name. But so many people are that away today. We got two more verses. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So, when you take on, let's look at it. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. So, a lot of you have been in the military. And are you trying to please the officer? You are. You have to. Otherwise, what are you going to be? You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. I've never been there, but I know. I got in enough trouble when I was younger. Believe that. Jack used to say, oh, I was bad, but I wasn't as bad as Terry. And that's probably about true. He never was as bad as me. Okay, last verse. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Everybody there? For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't believe it and you don't get into this, how are you going to fight against those things that are going to come against you? So, you know, Scott came up with the facts and I checked them. If you get into this at least four times a week, you're going to know more of what's in here and you're going to be able to apply it against the evil things that are going to come against you. But if you're not into it 4 days a week, what are you gaining? Most of the time, you're gaining the ways of the world. That's what's going to happen. And when the things come against you, you're not going to be able to fight and stand up strong against them like a soldier for Christ. You're not going to be able to do it. It's not going to happen. Because you're not, the only weapon we have is the Word of God. That's all you have against the powers of the unseen world, is the Word of God. And if you're not reading it, if you're not studying it, you don't have any power. If you don't carry it with you. A lot of us, we have it on our phones. I got a Bible in my truck. I got a Bible here. I got a Bible there. Keep one. That's the only offensive weapon you have against this stuff. And get into it. Read it. Study it. Don't take just what I'm saying for granted. These things are going to come against you. And the evil one's going to try to get your conscience seared to where you're believing the things that the world wants you to believe instead of what Christ wants you to believe and the power that comes through the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay. You know, David's family, he's got a lot of things that are going to happen within the family. And a lot of them are David's fault later on. A man after God's own heart. If it came against him, what makes you think it's not going to come against you? You're only fooling yourself if you think you're not. And sometimes the ones it comes against are your family that come against you the most. Or our thoughts. That's why it says take every thought captive. And make sure it's a good thought before it goes to your heart. So, It's a battle we struggle with every day in this world, and you're going to struggle with it. But if you're not in the world, in the Word, you're probably going to lose the struggle. So many people today have been manipulated into believing lies by the media, by different things. They're manipulated to believe lies. And most people would rather believe a lie than the truth. Most people would. Why? Because the truth kind of hits you right at your heart. It makes you change the way you think about a lot of things. We're getting ready for an election. Vote Jesus. Vote Him. Don't vote this or that. You know, what do you... Are you this or are you that? I'm a Christian. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Isn't that what we're supposed to vote? If you say you are, that's what you should vote. So, you know, but so many people want you to go this way or that way and declare that you're this or that. Jack said, I want to put on my, I'm a Christian. I'm telling you, you go on to be in a jury, and if you tell them you're Christian and you're this and you're that, you're probably not going to get on a jury. They're probably going to kick you out right off the bat. Yeah. But I've never been picked. I go down there and sit on a Friday sometime all day and wait and say, you're in part of the pool. I've been called up one time, I think, and said, well, they settled out of court. You don't have to go in. But so many things today are trying to change you the way you think. The world's trying to change. All these powers and stuff are trying to get you to change the way you think about Jesus and about the way things are supposed to be. So think about these things. But Jesus overcame the world. And you can, with Him, overcome all these thoughts and desires that come within you. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this lesson and the struggle that David's going to have and with sin that we all face each and every day. So he eventually overcomes all this stuff, but it costs a price. And a lot of it was conflicts within his family. So, Lord, help us keep our focus on you and the power that you give us to defeat these things. So, Lord, we just, again, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so it's going to be an altar call. It's not from me, not from Jim. It's from Jesus. So maybe you've been going through some of these things and you need some prayer. Come. With all of my heart. Another day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, for he is triumphant gloriously. I will praise him, for he is triumphant gloriously. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, for he is triumphant gloriously. Spirit of God moves on my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of God moves on my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. Spirit of God moves on my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of God moves on my heart, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, like David sang. When the Spirit of God moves on my heart, I will love like Jesus loved. When the Spirit of God moves on my heart, I will love like Jesus loved. I will love, I will love, I will love like Jesus. I will sing to him a new song.
Thank you, Jesus.